This is the state of things. I'm Phoebe Judge. He was a bold man that first ate an oyster, Jonathan Swift said back in 1738. Now American consumers can't get enough oysters. New oyster bars are popping up across the country, and oyster farming is taking off in new places to meet demand. Oyster sales in North Carolina doubled between 2005 and 2012. Experts say the state's climate and coastlines are just right for large-scale cultivation. Oyster farmers, marine scientists, and oyster enthusiasts gather in Raleigh today and tomorrow for the North Carolina Oyster Summit to discuss the environmental implications of oyster culture and restoration for the state. Joining us today is the event's keynote speaker. Rowan Jacobson is a food writer and oyster expert. His book, A Geography of Oysters, tours the many varieties of oysters in North America. Rowan, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Chris Mateo is an oyster farmer. He and his wife started Chadwick Creek Oysters in 2013. They now have 2.5 million oysters growing on 14 acres of submerged land in Bayboro, North Carolina. Chris, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And coastal ecologist Lindsay Dubbs joins us from Wanches, North Carolina. Dubbs is research assistant professor at the Institute for the Environment at UNC Chapel Hill. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you, Phoebe?
I'm fine. So, Rowan, why is there such an explosion of oyster consumption in the U.S.?
I think there's probably a couple reasons for that. But one of the big ones is really the whole local food movement. Everyone in the country has gotten more and more interested in tastes of basically what you'd call local tastes, like what makes this place different. And oysters are kind of the perfect food for that because every bay they grow in, they develop a different flavor based on that bay. So if you want to taste the taste of a particular place, eat those oysters.
And this is because, I mean, the oysters are eating what's in the water. I mean, they're filtering out what makes up a place.
Exactly. Because they're filter feeders, I kind of think of them as like a lens that's concentrating everything in a bay into a little nugget that you can eat.
So where have oysters traditionally been farmed, and how is that changing now?
Oyster farming goes way back to the ancient Romans, but normally if you had great wild populations of oysters, you would see no reason to go to the extra work of farming them. So it's as we've done a really good job of destroying our wild populations, so as they get removed, then people start farming them. The Northeast killed its oysters first, so that's where farming got started in this country. Same thing in the Pacific Northwest. The last great wild populations were found in the Southeast and the Gulf, so farming is just beginning in those places now.
So people have very strong opinions about what type of oyster they like and where they like them from. It's kind of like a wine almost. What does a North Carolina oyster taste like?
Well, it depends on which season, because the oysters really have a seasonality to them. Well, they'll change based on the weather throughout the year and based on their natural cycles. But in North Carolina, part of the reason that I think North Carolina could become like the Napa Valley of oysters is because it's got this incredible complex coastal habitat with tons and tons of estuaries with brackish water, which is where oysters thrive. And there's very few places in the country. If you look on a map, there's the Chesapeake Bay and only one or two other places that have that spectacular mid-salinity complex habitat.
So, Chris, now it's your chance to describe your oyster.
Sure. Our oyster is basically a little bit lower on the salinity scale. It's sweet, it's mild, and it's a good-looking oyster. And, I mean, we love them. We're getting great feedback from everyone out there, and chefs are really enjoying them as well.
So this is where the taste comes in. Some people like a saltier oyster. Mm-hmm. Some people like a little more mild oyster, but you've kind of found this perfect middle ground.
Yeah, and actually ours sort of range a bit. It depends on which way the wind's blowing sometimes, so the salinity will be a little bit higher. If we get a lot of rain, the salinity will go down. But in general, the range is very good, and we're finding people enjoying them from all over. So it's good feedback.
You didn't have any experience working with oysters. You worked in the financial sector before you started this oyster venture. How does a guy working with money, with no agriculture or aquaculture, for that matter, experience startup with an oyster farm?
Well, I think you'd be surprised. There are actually several oyster farmers on the East Coast who didn't come from traditional waterman backgrounds. There are a few finance people who actually have gotten into this, so not quite the pioneer on that front. But you know, from my perspective, it's a really interesting business. It's something, you know, it can be a very profitable business, and it can be a win-win-win where, you know, it's a great local product that people love. So they get a healthy product. The estuary gets filtered and the environment improves as a result. So, you know, the public trust wins, and then the farmer can actually make a living doing it. So you can find a way to actually make a living, you know, living and working at the coast, which is not the easiest thing to do.
Had you seen what was going on? I mean, did that take a part in kind of saying this is the right time to do this, watching what was happening across the country?
Well, my wife and I had bought a large tract of land, waterfront land, in very rural Pamlico County, and it came with 8 acres of deeded oyster beds. And so when we saw what those – that oyster bed was sort of unique. Normally people have to lease the land under the water. We actually own it. And it was something that North Carolina did back in the early 1900s to promote aquaculture and cultivation of oysters. Because the wild populations were being decimated, and they really wanted to push, aquaculture in that direction. So we visited a bunch of farms up and down the East Coast, all the way up to Massachusetts, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, Maryland. We realized that, you know, there are real viable industries building and growing in all those places, but North Carolina was very much underserved, and there were a handful of people doing it, but generally on a part-time basis, not a full-time basis. And it was sort of a, you know, just a small portion of what they were doing.
Oyster farming may sound kind of strange to some, since traditionally, you know, oysters in North Carolina are gathered from the wild by mm-hmm. oystermen. What is the basic process of oyster farming? How do you even raise an oyster?
Sure. The first step is obviously to find appropriate water bottom to grow your oyster. But in general, the farming or the production side of things, you buy seed from hatcheries. In North Carolina, there's one hatchery, but in Virginia and other places, there are several hatcheries that you can purchase small oysters that are called spat. And you can get them anywhere from 1 millimeter to a half inch. And you essentially you raise them in a variety of gear. It starts off in what's called a floating upweller system, which essentially grows the oyster to about a half inch. It continuously pumps water in the actual creek. So it stays in the creek. It pumps the water through. It feeds them. It grows them out to about a half inch. Then they go into different gear. They go into, you know, let's say a half inch mesh bag that either can float or you can put it into larger gear that sits on bottom. And that's what we do. And then after that, they go in right directly into the cage, and it grows out to 2.5-3 inch oyster at that point, and that's when we harvest.
So how long from start to finish before you're harvesting an oyster?
You know, it's interesting. Oysters grow at – they graduate – they have a graduated pace where there'll be fast growers, slow growers, and then kind of middle of the road. You can get your fastest stuff in about 9 months, but it's a small percentage of your crop, and then the slower growers could take 2+ years. So it's – you know, the bulk of it's probably a year and a half in North Carolina.
Lindsay, we're hearing a lot from oyster industry advocates that increasing the number of oysters along North Carolina's coast might be a good thing for water quality. We've talked about things like filter feeders and such. Why are people making this argument? And what do we know about the impacts of oysters on water quality?
Great question, Phoebe. Well, first of all, we know a lot about natural oyster reefs and the benefits that they provide. We use the term ecosystem services frequently. That's basically just the benefits that humans get from ecosystems, and oysters are one of those ecosystems. So first of all, the oyster reefs provide food, shelter, and nursery grounds for coastal fish and invertebrates, and that includes many of commercial and recreational value. And then also the structure of the oyster reefs dissipates wave energy, thereby reducing erosion of wetlands and sediments along coastlines. And finally, oysters filter the water, as you said. They're suspension feeders. So they basically take a lot of the suspended particles out of the water, including phytoplankton, which is their food. And that filtration results in improved water clarity, and that in turn can benefit other segments of the estuary or the waters, including submerged aquatic vegetation, which are basically underwater grasses that are the basis of another important coastal ecosystem that we call SAB.
So could the environmental impacts of farmed oysters be different than wild oysters?
We don't really have that much information about the environmental impacts of aquaculture facilities. We have reason to believe that aquacultured oysters provide some of the same benefits. However, because they can be located in diverse coastal areas where natural oyster populations may not necessarily be able to thrive, we need to be sure that analogs for those benefits exist. And so it is really an area of ongoing research. Some of the research to date has shown that there are some negative impacts on the environment from aquaculture facilities. Those are mostly based on studies done on the West Coast. But those have primarily focused on the immediate footprint of the oyster aquaculture facilities and not the surrounding environment, which is what I think is really interesting. So there's really a pressing need for research on the benefits or impacts of oyster aquaculture on the environment.
Chris, what do you think about this issue as someone who's involved in oyster farming?
Well, I think just if you were farming on land, you can be responsible or irresponsible, and you could do it in a good way or an environmentally negative way. And there was one example of that on the West Coast that was sort of a hot topic for the last couple of years. And I think if you're responsible and everything you put in the water comes out of the water, I think it's nothing but positive. And from what I've seen, and just anecdotally, you know, there's a lot more life in my creek than there was several years ago. And when, you know, after putting 2.5 million oysters in the water, the clarity is better. There's more fish. There's more crabs. There's more shrimp. But that's, again, that's anecdotally. But in general, if SAV loss is caused by particulates suspended in the water column or poor water quality, you know, oysters are filter feeders. So, you know, in general, I think as long as you're filtering water, you're going to have a better sort of conditions for SAV to grow and better water quality and better fisheries.
And I'm sorry, Phoebe, I would like to say that the undergraduate students that is hosted by the UNC Coastal Studies Institute where I work, they are part of a field site program, and they did some very preliminary research at a aquaculture facility in the Roanoke Sound that's operated by Joey Daniels of the Wanchese Seafood Company, and they actually measured that water clarity was improved outside of the aquaculture facility and that it provided habitat to organisms that are also found on natural oyster reefs.
I'm talking about oyster farming today on The State of Things. Rowan, you have studied the history of oysters and oysters all over this country. What is the general perception of wild oysters to farmed oysters in terms of taste, quality, and such?
It's interesting that you said the general perception, because I think there's a general perception, which is dead wrong, and then there's the perception of the chefs and the ones who are actually on the front lines dealing with it, which is completely different. We have this general idea that wild is better, which I think we get from the salmon industry. And, you know, when we're thinking of fin fish, with shellfish, it's really reversed. Wild oysters are great for all kinds of reasons, but the quality in the half shell is not going to compare to a farmed oyster, where the oyster has lots of space to get as much water and food as it needs, and it can grow to that perfect form. And now techniques are actually getting more sophisticated, where they're figuring out ways to help the oyster reach an incredibly perfect form. So the oysters, the farmed oysters coming out of the United States right now, are probably the best oysters that have ever existed in the history of the planet in terms of consumer preferences. But the wild ones tend to be, you know, a little muddier. They've had life a little harder. They have an allure to them all their own based on, you know, the tough circumstances they have endured. But they're not as gourmet a product.
And here, we've just learned that you are a farmed oyster fan. And so knowing about the oysters and the makeup here in North Carolina, would you say that a farmed oyster for North Carolina might be a pretty special thing in your own opinion?
It should be. All the conditions are right to create just beautiful oysters out there.
Because of brackish water and coastlines and such?
Yes, and because you can do it in 18 months, as Chris said, versus 3 to 4 years for, you know, Canada or New England. So it can be a more affordable product, too. The oysters coming out of New England tend to sell for $3 to $4 a piece at an oyster bar, and that can be prohibitive for some.
Chris, you are surrounded by oysters every day, mm-hmm. all day. I bet you still eat them, and probably a lot of them. What's the best way, in your opinion, to eat an oyster?
I think the best way is raw. And a lot of people, you know, oyster lovers out there are kind of divided. There's plenty of raw fans. And it's people feel passionately. Either they're raw fans or they just do not like raw at all. So if you don't like raw, I urge you to try them either Rockefeller style or Drago style.
A little
broiled,
bit cooked, yeah.
Yeah, garlic and butter and parsley and cheese, and you can't really go wrong. It's kind of like oyster scampi. But I think in general, if you really want to taste the nuances and the differences between oysters and if you develop a palate for it, you have to have them raw.
Well, I want to thank you all for being here very much. Coastal ecologist Lindsay Dubbs is a professor at the Institute for the Environment at UNC Chapel Hill. Chris Mateo is an oyster farmer and founder of Chadwick Creek Oysters in Bayboro, North Carolina. Thank you, Chris. And Rowan Jacobson is a food writer and author of the award-winning book, A Geography of Oysters. Jacobson will speak tonight at the North Carolina Oyster Summit. The event is being held today and tomorrow at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. You can find out more about his book at our website, stateofthings.org. That's the State of Things for today. The State of Things is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is the technical director. Jess Clark is our intern. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Phoebe Judge.